Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Ain't nothing like home cooking, right? But I'm guessing you're usually talking about mom or dad's or grandma's home cooking, and what you enjoyed most about it was eating it. Making delicious meals from scratch at home can be intimidating, especially if you're short on time. But it can be fun, it can be rewarding, or so they tell me. My people do all the cooking for me. In fact, it can actually improve the quality of your day. According to our guest today, Alana Chernila is here. It rhymes with vanilla, don't you know? She's a food writer, cooking instructor, and author of The Homemade Kitchen, among other books. She's contributed to numerous publications, including Martha Stewart Living. And Christina Davis, also here. She's the demo coordinator for the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs. She's the founder and editor of the From Scratch Club. That's a large group of home cooks, gardeners, and food advocates. They have a podcast on iTunes, a virtual cook-along book club, and a blog. Christina's been on the show before. She knows the ropes. She's telling Alana all about what to say and not to say on the program here in the break. Let's talk about home cooking today. What do you make from scratch? Tell us why you enjoy cooking at home. Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. Now, you can also post your comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Whew, we still have a few minutes of the show left after the introduction. So, Christina and Alana, welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, before we get to this beautiful new book, which I understand is not even out yet, we'll say hello to our old friend Christina Davis. What's up? What have you been doing since the last time you were on?
What have I been doing? Cooking at home.
Okay. Good. You're staying right with the topic of the show. Well,
yes,
done.
Absolutely. Doing a lot of instructing at Healthy Living Market and
good.
Cafe. So, you know.
Good.
Keeping busy. And well, it was summer, and it was a great summer.
I'm glad, and it's always good to have you back. Now, Alana Chernila, which rhymes with vanilla.
You got it.
Yeah, well, that's what Christina said. Now, listen, get it right. And so, listen, you don't mess around. Great new book, and it's not out yet, right?
It's not. It comes out on Tuesday, so you're seeing it first.
The title is The Homemade Kitchen, Recipes for Cooking with Pleasure. And this is your second book.
It's true. I wrote a book called The Homemade Pantry, which came out in 2012.
So,
wow.
You know, I'm a radio guy, not the brightest bulb in the array. So, but just look, I look at the recipes. So I thumbed through it and I saw, you know, sausage bread pudding and things like that. It immediately piqued my interest. But this book has sort of an ongoing theme.
It's true. You know, it has over 150 recipes, so I think there's something for everyone in there. But the recipes are really organized by a list of ways that I think that food can really make our lives better.
All right. Well, give us an example.
Well, the book starts out with the introduction, which I have called Start Where You Are. And I think this is a really important one. You know, I think so often home cooks, they just want to be further along than they are. They
right.
want to be more perfect. They want to have skills that they haven't learned yet. I've been there too. And so I start the introduction by just saying, you know what, let's just talk about who we are and who we want to be in the kitchen and just start there. So
it's a very zen-like approach.
It's true. You know, it's a little mindfulness in the kitchen, which I think helps, especially when it's 6 o'clock and you're trying to get dinner out. You just have to take a breath and figure out how to make it work for you.
You know, in this society, I don't have to tell you, and I certainly don't have to tell Christina, in this society, you get done with work, usually both parents working, you get home, what's in the freezer? Oh, the kids will love the chicken nuggets. That's
right.
Easy.
It's
always what's easy.
It's true.
So what in this book can still be easy, healthy, good, tasty?
Well, I really focus on recipes that I think are going to take very little work, you know, not so much more than those chicken nuggets. But for the time and return, the flavor, the experience, it's going to make everything better. And I think there are nights for chicken nuggets. I mean, I say whatever works for your family. But if you can make a little time, give yourself the gift of time to make dinner once, twice a week. I think, you know, I offer some simple pasta dishes, which you can put together in half an hour, but they're going to have more, you know, different flavors and things in there. And I think there's a lot of options for home cooks, especially for people who feel like they don't have time to cook. And there are ways to create more time in your day and more time in your week to be able to make things ahead of time and, you know, really make that work for every family. I think every family has a different way of making it work.
Our guest today, Alana Chernilla, whose new book is out next week, right?
Yeah, out on Tuesday.
The Homemade Kitchen. We're also joined today by Christina Davis, she's a vet of this program. Been on at least once. And Christina is with the Healthy Living Marketing Cafe in Saratoga Springs. So you can open, one of the nice things about this book is it's beautifully illustrated. I just opened to the corn chowder, and it's the picture alone is the roasted red pepper corn chowder. It looks like much more of a recipe than I could handle making.
Oh, you might be surprised. And yeah, it's true. Those pictures, they were actually taken by a photographer from Woodstock. Her name is Jennifer May.
Yeah.
And she is brilliant. She's amazing.
Great book. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Carrie in Williamstown, you're up first.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm a lover of cooking at home, and I have very big dinner parties, and I never hesitate to try things I've never made before, because to me it's an opportunity to make a bunch of stuff that I've never tried and see how it goes. And all my friends are always marveling at the fact that I haven't made these things 10 times to make sure they're perfect for my guests.
Okay.
You
want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, you and I are cut of the same cloth, because I'm always trying new things. And, you know, sometimes it works really well, and sometimes I have to feel my way through new recipes. And, you know, I've really learned that, especially when I'm inviting people over, that I don't have to be too attached to making it perfect, because, you know, I just find that more than anything, people love to be invited and they love to be fed. So it is actually, you know, I think a lot of old dinner party wisdom would say you should make something 3 times before you invite people over.
Yeah.
But I say, try it out, put yourself, you know, step out of your comfort zone, have a good time. And just like you said, use it as an opportunity to try new things, and know that your friends are just going to be excited to be fed no matter what the results. And they'll have a good time.
You know, if you could always feed it to people you don't like.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, I think the other part, I think that's sort of evolved with dinner parties, and I think you'd agree, Alana, is also I think friends like to come over to watch, you know, the act of cooking and to sharing in the idea of cooking beforehand. So I, too, will try new things when I have friends and family over, and they just enjoy hanging out in the kitchen, having a glass of wine with me and, like, helping me prepare, just seeing what new things I'm doing and what we're putting together. I mean, I think it's also the excitement.
Isn't that insightful? Because nobody does not enjoy watching a cooking show. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could barely tell you what a spoon is, and yet I could sit down and watch a cooking show. And my kids, who obviously they know nothing of cooking since we serve them hand and foot all the time, they love watching cooking shows too. It's just the preparation. And to me, it's something akin to a magician doing a trick. I have no idea how some of these things are done. You have calzones with buttery tomato sauce in this on page 189.
That's a good one. And that's also a great recipe for the freezer. So that goes back to your question about making things work.
I
I have a few recipes in there specifically for the freezer. I talk about how to make calzones and burritos and all sorts of different filling combinations and how to freeze them. So then you can be making things just how you want them, eating homemade, but you can pull them out of the freezer and then they're ready for you.
Okay, so burritos, traditionally, The working family gets a bag of frozen Doritos.
Sure.
So how do you make the wrap from scratch for a burrito?
You know, it's so easy. Sometimes I make tortillas, but usually for when I'm making burritos for the family, I buy those nice big tortillas.
Sure.
And then I like sort of different combinations. I like to have different varieties. I love chicken and cabbage and lime and, you know, all sorts of really great things in there. So I'll do a bunch at a time. We'll have burritos for dinner on a night when I have a lot of time to cook, and I'll make burritos, but then I'll roll maybe 20 extra burritos. I'll make a ton of ingredients. And sometimes we all roll them together because they're pretty fun to put together.
Yeah.
And then I wrap them in tin foil, and then I put them in plastic bags and label them up, and then they're just ready to heat up, just like burritos you would buy.
You heat them frozen.
Yeah, you can. There's a few different ways to heat them, depending on what kind of tools you have in your kitchen, if you have a microwave, if you're heating in the oven. But yeah, and they're great for school lunches too.
We are talking today with Alana Chernilla and Christina Davis, and you have some appearances coming up in the area. We'll talk about those coming up in the program. The new book, which is beautiful, lavishly illustrated, The Homemade Kitchen, will be out on Tuesday. Love the chapter titles. And we'll go through a few of these chapter titles right after the break. The number to call here on Vox Pop Food Friday is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take more of your calls, talk more with our guests coming up.
Support for WMC comes from Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting Robert Loeb's Field Studies, an outdoor exhibition of six large-scale sculptures at the Preserve's Visitor Center on Route 4455 in Gardner through October 18th. MohonkPreserve.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York. Providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, Lafon, and Pro Design. Progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon and Maui Jim, Costa, and Rudy Project sunglasses. S-H-E-E-H-Y Opticians.com. And the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years. 800-342-3661.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. It's the last Vox Pop for a few days, could be a week, could be 2 weeks, could be 6 weeks. Why? Because the fund drive starts Monday morning at 6 a.m. We have a $1 million fund drive. And it begins 6 a.m. Alan will be in the chair talking to you about why this station needs to survive. Now, listen, if you want to make the fund drive go a little shorter, maybe get to that Food Friday next week, you can go to our website, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Make a pledge now into the lockbox. As of a few minutes before the show started, we were at $187,866. That's pretty cool. That is way more than a really good day of the fund drive. We have already taken off the drive. Everything you put in now at WAMC.org into the lockbox counts at minute one of the fund drive. Now, our goal is $250,000 before we start. That's a quarter of the way through the drive. If that happens, we have a $10,000 challenge on the table, which would put us at $260,000 on minute one of the drive. So I encourage you, if you want to get Vox Pop back more quickly, WAMC.org, feed the lockbox, and we'll keep you posted how we do. It is a Food Friday, and boy, we're having fun here with Alana Chernilla, rhyming with vanilla, whose new book is The Homemade Kitchen, and Christina Davis, who is a vet of this program, has done it once before. Or twice. Have you been on twice before?
Once.
Once. This is the second time.
Yeah.
Now you're really a vet of this program.
Yeah, now it's...
So what's new over at the Healthy Living Market and Cafe, Christina?
Oh, lots of good stuff. It's fall, so we have all of our local pumpkins and apples and pears. And I mean, this is a beautiful time of year.
Yeah.
You know, we start gearing up for Thanksgiving. So you can order your local turkey. Like, there'll be turkey orders starting, I believe, Monday. We're starting it early this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have
Well, that's a
local
sure
farms.
Sign that the cold weather's coming.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Yep. So that's sort of what's been grooving. We
cool.
just got done with the SPAC Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, yeah. How was that? So much talk about that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Again, another year. It was great.
All right, let's go to the phones, and then we'll talk more about this cookbook and the chapter titles, which I find so instructive. Let's go to Jeff in northern New Jersey. Jeff, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk about how I make my tortillas.
Well, all right.
Now, it's real easy. I use two ingredients, and I guess I'm nervous. I forget the second ingredient.
Oh, boy.
It's lard, and what's the stuff you use to make dough out of?
Masa harina.
Masa harina?
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't known. I'm talking about, you
flour?
Know, bread.
Flour?
Flour!
Okay.
Thank you very much. I guess I have a mental block.
That's fine, man.
Lard and flour. You just mix it, get the right consistency, roll it out, and you have... You can just put it on a little bit of oil in a pan and make as many tortillas as you want. They're pretty good, like, you know, the breads you might find in the market. And there's one more thing.
Yeah.
Whenever I cook for, like, groups of people, too, you know, and when I do, I take the directions that I found, either in a cookbook or online or whatever, and I always experiment. A little of this, too much of that, you know, and I can never make the same things twice. Like, I've won chili contests two times. and I could never repeat the same thing. They're always different.
So you're an artist. Saying, yeah. You're an artist. You're not a technician.
Or I'm not.
Well, I think there might be some evidence of that. Thanks,
there
Jeff. We appreciate the call, my friend.
You.
See ya. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. So lard and flour.
Yeah, that does it.
Yeah, and lard is not everyone uses lard. We have Deanna Fox on from time to time. She's a proponent of using lard when necessary.
Especially these days, you can get some great lard at the farmer's market, you know, really good pastured lard, and it's great for tortillas, good for pie crust, all sorts of things.
And also, we have a house-made lard at Healthy Living.
Good to know.
But as of, you know, the last time I was on, it was about food allergies. Lard is one of the most hyperallergenic ingredients to use.
Really?
So, yeah, I recommend if there's someone with that has multiple food allergies, you know, lard is the way to go.
Break out the lard.
Yep.
Alana Chernilla is here and Christina Davis. Alana's new book, whose new book is The Homemade Kitchen. And the chapter titles I love. So we talked about Start Where You Are. That's chapter one. Be a Beginner. Feed Yourself. What's that all about?
So Feed Yourself is a chapter about how, you know, I think how there's a lot of people who feed other people a lot.
Yeah.
So you might feed your family or cook when people come over. But then when they're all alone, they forget that they also should be cooking for themselves. So, and I do this
myself. Yeah, we all do this.
Yeah.
Anybody who has kids does this.
Exactly. So Feed Yourself is actually a chapter about how to cook for yourself, especially in that situation. And all the recipes in the chapter are really like 10-minute special lunches for one.
Mm. And oh, that's great. 10 minutes is so key.
Yeah, so fast. So if you need to, you know, lunch or dinner, I feel like when I'm cooking for myself, it's got to be quick.
Yeah.
I don't want to, especially if I'm in the middle of a big work day and, you know, I need to be able to turn it around fast. But I also talk about how it's good to make something special that you really love, maybe something only you like that the rest of your family doesn't like.
Yep.
And then to actually sit down at the table or pick a place where you like to sit and set the table, put down a cloth napkin, you know, everything you would do for other people.
Yeah.
And so that's the focus of that chapter. And I use those recipes every day. That's what I cook for myself.
This is great. And then you go on, use your scraps.
Mm-hmm.
This is timely advice.
It's true. That chapter is all about things you might be throwing away in your kitchen that you should be keeping because they're treasures. So, and then there are a lot of recipes for leftover grains and leftover stale bread, things to do with scraps of your fruit like peach pits and strawberry hulls. So there's a lot of tips in that chapter.
And then there's the chapter, and there's a recipe in there that caught my eye. And I guess I had the wrong idea. It mentions Christina. Spoon butter. And I said, my God, that sounds delicious.
Right.
But it's not really for eating, is it?
No. You want to talk about spoon butter, Christina? Christina was the one who taught me about spoon butter first years ago.
So you don't eat spoon butter.
You don't. It's very useful in the kitchen.
It is really useful. I teach it as one of my like DIY gift classes mostly because you can give it as gifts. It's wonderful. It's just mineral oil, food grade mineral oil that you would find like in your wellness department of any like pharmacy, grocery store, and beeswax, preferably local beeswax. Mm-hmm. You can get it at the farmer's market, different stores.
And
you sort of whip it together. And what it is, it's a conditioner for your wooden utensils, cutting boards, and you condition it. It's a conditioner.
Why is that important?
Because they crack and dry out because they're wood.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they're really, you know, they're living finishes, essentially. So
as opposed to spraying on some pledge.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah, so, and the nice thing about polishing your woodens with spoon butter is that the beeswax makes it smell like honey,
mm-hmm.
and it feels really good on your hands. And you can use, I sometimes use some other oils other than mineral oil. Sometimes I've done walnut oil, or some people use coconut oil. And the whole process of caring for the things in your kitchen in that way can just bring a lot of pleasure. So even, you know, even though you might, you know, it's like, oh, my house isn't clean enough, or I wish I had a new kitchen, or this or that. You can put 10 minutes into polishing your spoons and rubbing this oil into your cutting boards, and it feels like you have cared for your space in a really wonderful way. Okay. And the whole kitchen smells good, and you know you've done something good for your staff.
And it lasts. And you don't have to buy a new wooden spoon when it cracks in half in another year because it's, like, dried out.
Really?
Or if you have a wooden spoon from your grandmother. I mean, a lot of wooden spoons, at least that I have stories that go along with them.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Or bowls, like
I'll tell you what,
wooden salad bowls.
Yeah.
I don't want to remember my grandmother's wooden spoon because, I'll tell you.
Let that one crack.
A lot of threats. All right, so we're talking today to Alana Chernila, whose new book comes out Tuesday. It's The Homemade Kitchen, and Christina Davis of the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga. This came in via email at voxpop@wamc.org. This is from Nancy in Wilton. I have finally found, with some tweaking, the perfect recipe for sprouted six-grain bread, similar to Ezekiel bread, with only 3/4 cup of gluten wheat flour per large loaf, and it's wonderful, very economical to make. The only thing that bothers me is that I would like to buy the grains and nuts seeds in bulk. Any suggestions? I use red or hard white wheat, spelt barley, beans, lentils, millet, and then sunflower and or pumpkin seeds. That's from Nancy in Wilton. Anybody?
That sounds like an amazing bread.
That does sound like an amazing bread.
What is a sprouted grain?
Well, sprouting is really, it's a very simple process of essentially just getting the grains a little bit wet and then letting them sit in the air until, you know, grains are just seeds. So until they crack and they sprout and
become alive. A live plant again, basically.
And so it brings more nutrition into the grain. And many people say that it becomes a lot easier to digest.
Is it tougher to work with when you're making bread?
No, not at all. In fact, quite the opposite, because often the grains are softer.
Yeah.
So they really incorporate into the dough really nicely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for bulk, to answer the guest, the caller or the emailer. There's a lot of bulk departments around the area. Obviously, I work at Healthy Living Market, so I would say, you know, please, you know, that's a great place to go. We have a large bulk department. You can buy items in bulk. There's a lot of different stores around the area that have that. And that's great. Buying in bulk is economical. You can buy as little or as much as you want of the ingredient. I mean, there's multiple benefits to buying in bulk.
And there are some... do you offer large scale bulk at
Living
Market?
Absolutely. So, you can,
So I really recommend if you're using a lot of whole grains in your kitchen, that a chest freezer is a really great investment, because I often will buy my grains in 25 pound bags, and that saves me a ton of money. But those grains are going to go rancid if you don't use them within a certain amount of time. So you want to keep them in the freezer. So if you're able to buy grains in that quantity, you're going to save a lot of money, but you need to have a freezer in order
Otherwise, you have the rancid six-grain sprouted.
Yeah, which is
correct.
Not quite as good. Yeah.
All right, we got a funny tweet from Deanna Fox who says, spoon butter, all right. So there, somebody else is on board with the spoon butter.
Good.
All right, this is an email. And by the way, if you want to call, the lines are open, 1-800-348-2551. This one is from Rose Rita, who says, skeptical. She says, nah, when I get home from a hard day of work, there's no way I feel like cooking, even though I once had a small catering biz, was considered a gourmet cook, and my friends used to call me Martha Stewart. Was that a compliment? When I'm exhausted, just give me some lamb sag from the Indian cart, some goat stew from the local Caribbean rest, or a slice of best pizza in town, but I'll check out the book. You're giving it a great pitch, Ray. Well, I like the book. It's a nice book. Hearing about all these recipes is making me extremely hungry. I hope the ladies brought you some food. Actually, Rosarita, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's not a lot of food here, but there's something. What is that?
So I made some apple chips, and this is a recipe from the book, and really what they are like a crunchy snack that I made from apples from my own orchard in Great Barrington. So
you have your own orchard?
I do. I have 9 little tiny fruit trees that grew to larger fruit trees.
Cool.
And this year is an amazing fruit year. So
everybody says that.
I mean, I have everybody coming to pick fruit, and we can't keep up. At first, it was the plums, and I swear we had 500 pounds of plums, and now it's the apples.
Wow.
So these are apple chips, and this is just, I've sliced them thin. And I've sprinkled them with a little bit of maple sugar, which is a great product for this sort of use, because it doesn't add the liquid that maple syrup does.
Oh, this is
and so maple sugar you can get from the farmer's market from maple syrup producers or from specialty stores. And then I have put them, and then there's a little cinnamon, and I've put them in a low oven that's about 250 for about 2 to 3 hours until they dry out. And then they become these crispy little snacks, and they're really wonderful.
This is great. Are you going to have one, Christina?
Oh, yes.
Oh, feel free.
And also, we brought a little bit of creme fraiche.
So... Oh, you can't lose. Now, this is not spoon butter, to be clear.
This is not spoon butter.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can definitely combine these two. And this is creme fraiche that I made at home. And I actually, I teach cheese making in Copaic Falls.
You're kidding me. So you got an orchard, you teach cheese making, you write books.
I'm all over the place. Yeah, so I teach cheese making with Margaret Roach, who is a gardener and has a really wonderful place in Copaic Falls. And so this creme fraiche was something we made with our students
this is delicious.
This weekend, yeah.
This is so nice. This is a portable thing, too.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And this is, kids love them. They're really mm-hmm. fantastic for lunchboxes. And, you know, and the only problem I have with them is that I can't stock them fast enough. So they take a while in the oven, even though it doesn't take much active time. And then I make a few trays and then they disappear.
Can you make these with plums?
You know, you can make them with plums. I wouldn't do plums because there's too much liquid.
Yeah.
But you can make them with pears. Mm-hmm. You can make them with mangoes. So there's bananas, other fruit that are not super super fleshy.
This is really really delicious. It's always nice to have some food here.
Yeah, it's good to snack our way through any conversation.
Right,
food.
You are, and help yourself.
Thank you.
And they're a good make ahead recipe, not just for the day to day grind, but. I also, if there's like some last minute, my son's in first grade now, mm-hmm. and if there's any last minute event that we need to bring food to and like little snacks, I will bring some dehydrated and or like oven crisped fruit.
Because everybody loves them. Yeah. And so it's a good, it's special. And these will stay, you know, sometimes they can get a little softer in the jar, but for the most part, they'll stay good for up to 6 weeks in your pantry. So
we're joined today by Christina Davis and Alana Chernilla here. And Alana's new book is The Homemade Kitchen. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org like Jeremy did. Jeremy says, talking about wooden utensils and spoon butter. Mm. Does just plain mineral oil work to preserve wooden utensils? A cutting board of mine came with mineral oil to treat it, but it did not have the beeswax.
You know, this is a controversial question.
Really? I had no idea there was controversy about spoon butter.
And you're going to, you know, some people are going to advocate for linseed oil. Some people are going to, everyone has a different opinion. And so I don't want to come down as being the ultimate word on this question.
I use motor oil.
Right. Well, I wouldn't use motor oil because, you know, you're going to make your woodens black with that.
But you get much better mileage.
It's true. But I will say that I've tried a lot of different options, and I've found the combination of mineral oil and beeswax to be the most effective on my wooden. So I would say, and I think that the beeswax, it adds a certain... I love what it does.
Yeah, it's the richness of it and the fact that it's like, it really
buttery.
Covers. Yeah, it's buttery.
And so I would say, you know, the mineral oil is probably going to be okay, but if he wants to try, use that mineral oil, get some beeswax from his, you know, from the local, from a store. He can get a few blocks or you can get little pastilles that are really easy to melt and give it a try.
All right, fair enough. All right, now going back to your book, I'm skipping ahead in chapters. But
skip around.
There's one here. Now, we talk about you get home from work, a fast meal, a healthy meal, a delicious meal. But then you have a chapter that says slow down. How does that twain meet?
Well, you know, I think these days in food, there's a lot of tendency to say, you know what, let's make this meal in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And trying to show us all the ways that we don't have to spend time in the kitchen. And I think that we're all busy. You know, this is just, we're getting busier. And especially with social media and everything going on, there's always something that we have to do. And there's always a way to be connected that, you know, it's hard to unplug from. But I also think that it's important to understand that we have the ability to make time in our days. And if you want to cook, you can make time to do it. And I offer a few direct suggestions as to how to make that happen. But I think when you start looking for hidden pockets of time in your day, it'll surprise you.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. There's not a lot in my day at this time. But then again, I don't do much cooking. Maybe if
it's
cooked.
It's true. And if you want to get into the kitchen and spend some time in there, I think you might find that you have the ability to make time for that. And I also think, you know, letting go of perfection and understanding that sometimes it takes a little time to make dinner and finding time to enjoy the time you spend in there instead of saying, oh, I don't want to do this and I have to make dinner again and can I just get out of here so I can watch Netflix? It's a change of attitude and it makes the process so much better.
I would also add, my husband does this a lot where he'll take a Sunday and he'll be watching football and mm-hmm. he will cook the massive, he makes a great bolognese, but he'll do it all day, but it's not like he's standing over the,
the
stove. Or
chili, same
or
thing.
Yeah, it's like, but it's low and slow. It's his labor of love. Like he makes certain recipes and they might be take all day. And then we freeze, you know, a batch of it and we eat it that night. And we might eat it 3 days after because it's so amazing, but we have extras and... you know, I think just taking the time, it doesn't have to mean that we're like slaving for eight
Not
hours in
all.
A kitchen. It's like in between you, watching
I like
football.
It. Yeah.
I mean,
I like it. We're joined today by Christina Davis and Alana Chernilla, rhyming with vanilla. We'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday, don't you know? And the home stretch is on the way.
Support for WMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Oblong Books and Music, supporting Fall for Art, a village-wide festival in celebration of the arts, Saturday and Sunday, October 3rd and 4th in Millerton, New York, fallforart.com. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. And the 2015 Saratoga Showcase of Homes, benefiting two charities, Rebuilding Together Saratoga and Habitat for Humanity. Weekends through October 4th, SaratogaShowcaseOfHomes.com for tickets.
Well, I hate to beat a horse that may or may not expire, but the fund drive is coming up on Monday morning, 6 a.m. It's a $1 million fund drive. If you make your pledge right now at WAMC.org, feed the lockbox. We will shorten the drive, and before the show started, we were at $187,000 and change. If we make $250,000 by Monday morning, we'll get an extra $10,000 challenge. So that would be cool to go in at a quarter way through the drive. In the meantime, it's Food Friday, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Christina Davis, who has been on this program before. Christina with the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs, and cookbook author, and educator, and writer, and, she has an orchard. I mean, come on. She has everything. Alana Chernilla is here, and you have some events coming up.
I do. Yeah, I'm really excited about this whole book process coming up. But I'm actually going to be with Christina at the Healthy Living Market next week, which I've never been there before.
That's a party right there.
Yep, that's next Friday night at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's more information on the Healthy Living Market website for
that. There is.
And then I'll be actually back in the area on Sunday, and I'm going to be teaching a food writing class in Troy. And then I'll be at the From Scratch Club Food Swap. So there's more information about that one on the From Scratch Club website.
Yep.
And then I'm actually having a launch party for the book at Six Depot Roastery in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And that's on the 18th. And that's going to be a fun party. There's going to be a lot of food and giveaways and all sorts of things to do. So, and then I'll be in Hillsdale in November.
Wow.
And there's a whole listing of events on my website, which is eatingfromthegroundup.com.
Cool.
And it directs you to the right place to get tickets or reserve a spot for anything. But I'm going to be around a lot, and then I will be off to the West Coast for a while after that. Yeah,
you get around. I mean, how do you tend to the orchard?
Well, luckily, an orchard kind of just tends to itself. At least mine does.
All right, fair. Wow, it must be a magical orchard.
Well.
Joanne on the Taconic Parkway. You're on, Joanne.
Hi, thanks. Hopefully you can hear me.
Sure.
I have two questions. One is, if you could just give some examples of some of these recipes to tempt me.
Okay.
The other is to ask if there are any tricks for frittatas. I seem to be stuck on one kind of frittata, and I know you can use leftovers for them. I'd like to hear about that.
All right. You want to stay on the line or you want to listen over the radio, Joanne?
I'll listen over the radio because I have a feeling I might lose you.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call and drive safely. Watch out for the deer on the Taconic. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to start from the end of your question with the frittata. I actually have a frittata recipe in the book, and it's in my chapter where I talk about ways to use kitchen scraps, because I'm not sure if you've ever put leftover grains in your frittata, but that is a great addition. So this recipe has leftover millet, but you could add any kind of rice or any sort of leftover grain, and really thinly sliced zucchini and summer squash and basil and a little bit of cheese. And it makes the whole frittata a bit denser and more of a meal. And that along with a little salad, and that's a great quick dinner. So that's actually, you know, an example of something you can make quickly. Mm. I also love to do sliced roasted potatoes in my frittata and mix it up that way. I like to do sliced roasted potatoes and roasted red peppers, you know, especially this time of year, doing roasted vegetables and then doing a frittata with those is really wonderful. So I think it's good to remember you can pretty much put anything
totally
in there.
Anything.
And, you know, you put anything with eggs, and if you're adding cheese, ricotta is a really wonderful addition to any frittata. You blend it up with your mixture, and it's just going to make it so rich and wonderful. And then there are a lot of other quick dinners in the book. One of my favorites is it uses a cut of beef called skirt steak. And it's,
oh, yeah, I saw that recipe.
Yeah, skirt steak salad. So it's just quickly marinated, and then that gets put in a cast iron pan or a large frying pan just for a few minutes and sliced up and then tossed with some cucumbers that you've soaked in rice vinegar for a minute and some lettuce. And you serve that along with a little bit of rice, and it's a great meal and comes together so quickly. So, and I'm focusing on dinner in a way that I'm hoping is approachable for anyone who wants to cook. So there's, you know, everything is pretty quick in there.
Isn't skirt steak, can it be a little tough?
Well, it can be, but there are a few secrets to it. It's you want to make sure that you give it a quick marinade. And also sometimes there's a membrane on the skirt steak that you want to take off before you cook. And then also if you cut it in the right way, it's not going to be it's not going to be so tough. It's amazing the difference when you know, cutting against the grain or with the grain. Skirt steak is fantastic.
My friend Lisa just texted, I want this woman as my personal chef. So you have a job there, Alana.
This whole cookbook thing doesn't work
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
All right. I'll call you later, Lisa.
Let's go over to Judy in Amsterdam. Judy, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You're just talking about slowing down. Well, I slowed down a lot. I made apple butter for the first time in my crock pot.
Nice.
Love that.
And it's just delicious. I can't keep my spoon out of it, actually.
awesome.
The thing I learned, though, was I was concerned about there not being enough liquid, because these apples were from old trees. I picked them free, which was even better, but because of that, they were really spotty, and you couldn't use a slicer on it. You had to hand cut them up, and, you know, I was pretty generous with the garbage can, but still, for the amount of apples that I had and the price that couldn't be beat, I chunked them up, put the sugar and the cinnamon and the ground cloves, a little tad of salt, made it like the pie filling, and threw it in the crock pot.
Mm.
Well, I was concerned about it being dry in there, so I put about 4 ounces of water, way too much. So I cooked it on high for an hour, and then I put it on low for, I don't know, 10 hours or something. And at that point, I got my stick blender out and mashed it all up really nice, but it was too thin. So I let it go for a while more, and then I learned that I had to turn the lid on the crock pot sideways so all the liquid would evaporate.
Uh-huh.
And now it's nice and thick, and it's delicious. So I was actually eating apple butter on sliced apples from apples that I had gotten at the orchard.
Wow. That's doubling up the fun.
Oh, it was delicious.
Have you tried making spoon butter in the crock pot at all?
No. I was just thinking, too, instead of putting a little bit of water, maybe I should put maybe a little bit of rum or a little bit of whiskey.
Bourbon.
That's it, bourbon.
You had bourbon.
That's, you know, and the thing about the slow cooker is that it really always needs less liquid than you think it's going to, because whatever food is in there is going to be releasing its own liquid, and it sort of creates this system in there on its own. So, and it's always, if you're there to keep an eye on it, always better to make sure things are a little drier and you need to add liquid than to add too much liquid, because you can't back up from that.
Oh, that's wise.
And I would say also for those who... I mean, apple butter in the crock pot is great. I've also made peach butter, which is fantastic in the crock pot. Pear butter. And bourbon is a fantastic thing. You just need a couple spoonfuls of it. But you could also use just a splash of apple cider. And that way, you know, you're adding a liquid if you think you need to, but you probably didn't. I mean, I think it'll probably release its own liquid, but that way you're just adding more apple flavor instead of diluting it. Because especially with a butter, you want that super concentrated, fantastic apple flavor. Mm. And it is, as you said, it is the best apple season. And I think any of us have seen in ages. And
Absolutely. If
anybody is buying their apples, unless you're supporting a great family or orchard that you want to, you should be looking around and just picking up those apples from the ground, because there's apples everywhere right now.
Right.
And, you know, they're just it's an embarrassment of riches. It's really great.
Well, a few years ago, we do have a peach tree. And a few years ago, I had a lot of peaches. It was terrific. Then I almost lost the tree because it was so heavy and the branches were splitting that my husband cut it back quite severely. So this year I only had about 6 or 8 peaches. But I think the squirrel has been knocking them down, and the groundhog has been enjoying them.
Well, that's another
show. That happens. That's true. Yeah, but as I say in the book, you just do your best, and then you let go.
Judy, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thanks for taking it. Have a good day.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined by Christina Davis and Alana Chernilla. Boy, nice to have you both here. We're having a good time today. Thank you for bringing the food.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the final chapter in this book, it's all about me. Don't be afraid of food. Explain.
I love that one. So, you know, that goes on a few different levels. That's my dessert chapter. And, you know, that phrase really came about because I feel like these days there's so much information out there about food, and it's great. It's sparking great conversations about what we're eating and how to be more connected to our food. But at the same time, there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of fear about food making us fat or skinny or sick or well, or, you know, food is so loaded these days. And it crosses over into the kitchen as well. We're afraid we're going to mess it up. We're afraid it's not going to taste good. And I find, you know, I've been writing my blog now for many years, and I get emails from people every day who are afraid of things, and whether they're afraid of an ingredient or they're afraid of a technique. And I think that it's time to relax. It's time to relax about how we eat and understand that sometimes, you know, the fear and the stress we feel about certain ingredients might actually be worse for our health than those ingredients themselves.
Well, I mean, some ingredients you can be legitimately fearful of, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? These are really important questions. And I absolutely advocate knowing what's in your food and being conscious and thoughtful about it. But I think in the end, we have to recognize that it's about eating together. It's about making it work. And it's about finding a way to incorporate our meals and our cooking experience into our days in a way that makes us happy. And that, you know, that's really important. And I think, you know, with the pendulum sort of swinging towards so much food awareness, that it's a good idea to try to bring it back a little bit.
Well, eating healthy and using fresh local ingredients is one way to avoid being fearful of what you're eating.
Absolutely. Being, you know, connected to the source is a great way to do it, for sure.
As far as fear of cooking goes, I think once you start making mistakes, the fear goes away.
It's true. You see that, you know, there's nothing that can't be saved. And if it can't be saved, then the compost or the garbage got it, and you just start again, for sure.
Let's go over to Marty in Clifton Park. Marty, you're up.
Hi. I'm not really an avid cooker. I love to bake, not necessarily cooking. But one of the ways to really mitigate that fear is to cook with a friend. I've had just wonderful lunches with friends where we plan a meal in advance, and the things that I'm familiar with working, you know, with cooking, I do, and the things that other people are familiar with, they do, and so I get to taste new things and learn new prep.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, it's key, absolutely.
I mean, that's cooking the way From Scratch Club started way back when my son was diagnosed with severe life-threatening food allergies. I didn't know my way around the kitchen at all. And I just called a bunch of friends and said, can you meet me for coffee? And it turned into a monthly meeting of us just like sharing recipes and techniques or ingredients. And these were like simple, like really quick, just really simple, lovely recipes. I was terrified of my kitchen before. I had to feed my family and I had to cook.
Yeah. You know,
and getting getting friends' advice and it's great. It's a great
experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's amazing, you know, what trove of experience your friends have around you, that, you know, we all have the things that we've learned from our parents or, you know, friends when we were kids or, you know, any of those things. And then you have those skills, and then you get to see that other people have an entirely different set of skills. And once you start to be able to share those, and you know, there's a whole education there, and it's great. I mean, it's really wonderful.
You had mentioned earlier in the program that you are teaching a class on food writing and cooking writing.
I am.
What does it take to, I mean, this is a well thought out book, and it's not just recipes. So, and there are a fair number of not so good cookbooks out there. What does it take to transfer your knowledge about cooking to somebody who's never done it before, writing about cooking?
Well, you know, I think in our food writing class, we're going to be talking probably less about writing recipes, although we'll touch on that, and more about that process of translating taste and memory to the page. Because I think, you know, for seasoned writers or for beginning writers, it's really, food is a window into everything else. And for me, you know, I was a writer who then started writing about food, and I found that once I started writing about food, I could write about parenthood and marriage and travel, and in a way that I couldn't before. So I think that it's, you know, finding ways to use food and our own tastes and memories as a window into reflecting on those experiences is a really, it's a great process. I'm really excited about this class.
And food is universal. We all have to eat.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I think it's a way to also connect with each other and with ourselves.
Yeah.
You both have a very relaxed outlook on things. I feel much more relaxed now.
Great.
Going into a fun drive, I usually tense up pretty quickly. You both relax me very well. Okay,
good.
So big events coming up, and you can find out about a lot of them at your website, Christina, right?
Yeah, you can find out about our Alana's book signing and demo and book talk for next Friday at healthylivingmarket.com.
Okay.
Her food writing class that we just spoke about, and then the food swap after at fromscratchclub.com. That's it for my three events.
Yeah, and there's links to those events and more, and information about the book launch in West Stockbridge on October 18th as well, all at my website, which is eatingfromthegroundup.com.
Okay, and we have links to both of those places at our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You'll see the Food Friday. The new book, The Homemade Kitchen by Alana Chernilla, a nice read, beautifully illustrated. Christina Davis, what can we say? You know?
It was a great hour.
You've
and it's a
good.
Great book.
Well, thank you.
Can't
both.
Wait to be back again.
Well, you'll be back. Trust me about it. Okay.
Excellent.
And I, you know, if you could bring next time the sausage bread pudding.
You got it.
Yeah.
That would no
be
problem.
Really, we didn't really talk about that, but it's been on my mind.
Support, it's good. You're going to have to make that at home.
Fair enough. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, presenting their 14th annual Landscapes for Landsake art exhibit October 10th through October 12th. Opening reception October 10th at noon to 5 p.m. to benefit local farmland protection, agstewardship.org. North Shire Bookstore hosting Stephen Kernan for his book, The Hummingbird, tomorrow in Manchester, Vermont, northshire.com. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst's Mill District, opening breakfast and lunch daily from offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. Bread and butter, Amherst.com. And the Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, New York, specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals, honestweight.coop. Thanks again for being with us and listening and for calling and for writing in via email. Thanks to our guests, Alana Chernilla and Christina Davis, for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, the chef at the controls, who handles all the levels. And your phones were answered today by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Once again, the fun drive starts on Monday morning at 6. Make your pledge now at WAMC.org. Feed the lockbox. We'll see you for the drive.